I'll come up there. But I'm not getting in. Suit yourself. I smile and stand up. I know she'll end up in there. She'll just need more persuading than most girls. Come to think of it, I've never actually been in a jacuzzi with a female before, naked or not. Wrapping her small hand around my wrist, she follows me upstairs to the room that is considered ours for the next few days. The balcony connected to it is what made me claim it in the first place. The moment I saw that jacuzzi sitting there, I had to get her into it. The bed isn't bad either. It's small, but we don't need a big bed with the way we sleep any damn way.
I really do love it here. It's so peaceful, she says, and sits on the bed to take her shoes off.
I open the double doors to the balcony. It's okay. If my father, his wife, and Landon weren't here, it would sure as hell be better.
I don't have anything to wear tomorrow to that restaurant your father was talking about.
I shrug and lean down to turn the faucet on the jacuzzi. We won't go, then.
I want to go. I just didn't know we were going out somewhere before I packed.
It's poor planning on their fault, then, I say, and study the gauges to make sure they look like they're working. We'll just wear jeans. Seems like a casual area.
I don't know.
Well, if you don't want to wear jeans, we can find a store in this dump to get you something else, I offer, and she smiles.
Why are you in such a good mood?
Tessa raises an eyebrow at me. I dip a finger into the water. Almost there. This thing heats up quickly.
I don't know.
I just am.
Okay. Should I be worried?
She asks, stepping out to join me on the balcony.
No.
Yes. I gesture to the wicker chair next to the hot tub. Will you at least sit out here with me while I enjoy the relaxation that is sitting in scalding hot water? She laughs and nods, taking a seat. I watch her innocent eyes as she stares at me while I pull my shirt over my head and take my pants off. I leave my boxers on. I want her to take them off.
You sure you don't want to come in?
I ask her, and lift my leg over the edge and climb in.
Fuck, it's hot as hell.
A few seconds later, the burn disappears, and I lean back against the hard plastic.
I'm sure,
she says, and looks out at the woods surrounding us.
No one can see us.
You really think I'd ask you to come in here naked if someone could? I ask.
I mean, me with my jealousy issues and whatnot.
What if they come back?
She asks quietly, as if someone can hear her.
They said an hour or two.
Yeah, but...
I thought you were learning to live a little.
I tease my beautiful girl.
I am.
You're sitting there pouting in a chair while I'm enjoying the view, I point out.
I'm not pouting,
she says, and pouts more. I smirk at her, knowing it will irritate her further.
Okay,
I say, closing my eyes as she purses her lips.
I sure am lonely in here. I may have to take care of myself.
I don't have anything to wear.
Déjà vu,
I remark, thinking about our experience at the stream for the second time today.
I just get in the damn water,
I say, without opening my eyes or changing my tone. I speak to her like it's inevitable, because we both know it is.
Fine, I am,
she says, trying to convince herself she's exasperated and doesn't really want this as much as she does. That wasn't as hard as I thought it would be. When I open my eyes, I nearly choke. She's lifting her shirt over her head, and of course she's wearing that damn red bra.
Take the bra off, I say.
She looks around again, and I shake my head. The only thing she can see from this balcony is the water and trees.
Take it off, baby,
I coax,
and she nods, sliding the straps down her arms. I'll never get enough of her. No matter how many times I touch her, fuck her, kiss her, hold her, it will never be enough. I'll always want more. It's not even about the sex, which we have often. It's that I'm the only one who's ever been with her, and she trusts me enough to get naked on a fucking balcony. So why then am I such a fuck-up? I don't want to fuck this up with this girl. Her jeans join her T-shirt and bra on the chair, folded perfectly, of course. Panties too, I remind her.
No, yours are on.
She fires back and steps into the water.
Ouch!
She squeaks, pulling her foot back before easing in. Once she's all the way in, she sighs, her body having gotten used to the water. Come here. I reach for her and pull her onto my lap. I suppose the uncomfortable plastic seats can be useful after all. The way her body feels against me, in combination with the pulsing jets, makes me want to rip those panties right off.
It could be like this in Seattle, all the time,
she says, and her arms wrap around my neck. Like what? The last thing I want to do is talk about fucking Seattle. If I could find a way to wipe that damn city off the map, I would.
Like this,
she gestures between us.
Just us. No problems with your friends, like Molly. No bad history. Just you and me in a new city. We could start all over, Harden. Together.
It's not that simple, I tell her.
Yes, it is. No more Zed.
I thought you were going to come in here and fuck me, not talk about Zed. I tease, and she tenses.
Sorry, I... Calm down, I'm joking.
Well, about the Zed thing. I shift her body on mine so she's straddling my lap, her bare chest flush against mine.
You're everything to me. You know that, don't you?
I repeat the question I've had to ask her so many times. She doesn't answer this time. Instead, she rests her elbows on my shoulders, threads her fingers through my hair, and kisses me. She's hungry. Just like I knew she'd be.
Chapter 25. Harden. I attempt to pull her nearly naked body even closer to me as she deepens the kiss. Her hands grip my arms, and I guide my hand down between her thighs. No point in wasting any time here. Should have taken these off, I tell her, tugging at the side of her thin, soaked panties. She lets out a breathless laugh before sucking in a sharp breath when my fingers enter her. Her moans are cut off by my mouth against hers. She pulls my bottom lip between hers, and I nearly lose it. She's so fucking sexy and seductive, and she doesn't even fucking try. When she begins to rock her hips, pushing herself onto my hand, I grip her waist, move her from my lap, and place her next to me. Her legs spread wide, my fingers still pleasing her. These fucking panties are getting on my nerves. She startles, then pouts when I remove my fingers from her and hook them around her panties, tugging them down as quickly as possible and leaving her to kick them off the end of one foot into the water beside her. I watch for a second as the jets carry them to the other side of the tub. There's something mesmerizing about seeing that final barrier float away so smoothly. But quickly, Tessa grabs my wrist to force me to touch her again.
What do you want?
I urge, wanting to hear the words from her.
You,
she smiles sweetly, then spreads her legs further, showing how dirty she really is.
Turn around then, I tell her.
Without giving her a chance to respond, I turn her body around, and she lets out a yelp. I panic for a moment, but then realize that her little pussy is directly lined up with the jets. Of course she's moaning. She'll be fucking screaming in a minute. I kneel behind her. I love taking her this way. I can feel so much more of her. I can touch the creamy skin on her back and pay attention to every muscle moving under her skin. And I watch every breath she fights for as I rock into her. I move her long hair to the side and move closer, slowly pushing farther into her. Her back arches into me, and I take her breasts in my hands as I begin to move in and out of her slowly. Fuck. It feels so damn good. Better than ever. It has to be the hot water pushing around us as I inch in and out of her. She moans, and I reach down to make sure she's still being hit with the rushing water. Her eyes are screwed shut, and her mouth is wide open. Her knuckles are nearly white from gripping the edge of the tub. I want to move faster, to pound into her, but I force myself to stay at this slow, torturing pace.
Harden,
she moans. Fuck, it's like I can finally feel every inch of you. The moment I say the words, I panic and pull away from her. A condom. I didn't even think to use a fucking condom. What has she done to me?
What's wrong?
She pants, a thin layer of moisture covering her face. I don't have a condom on. I run my hands over my wet hair.
Oh,
she says calmly. Oh?
What do you mean,
oh?
So put a condom on,
she suggests with a doe-eyed look.
That's not the point.
I stand up in the tub. She doesn't say anything. If I hadn't thought about it, you could have gotten pregnant. She nods understandingly.
Okay, yeah, but you did remember.
Why is she so calm about this? She has this grand plan to move to Seattle. A baby would definitely fuck that up.
Wait, is that your plan or something?
If I get you pregnant, you think I'll go with you? I sound like a fucking conspiracy theorist, but it does make sense. She turns around, laughing.
You aren't serious.
And when she tries to wrap her arms around me, I move out of the way. I am.
Come on, that's insane. Come here, babe.
She tries to grab me again, but I dodge her, moving to the opposite side of the jacuzzi. Hurt flashes as clear as a goddamn neon sign across her face, and she covers her boobs with her hands.
You're the one who forgot about a condom, and now you're saying that I'm trying to trap you by getting pregnant.
She shakes her head in disbelief.
Just listen to yourself.
Well, it wouldn't be the first time some crazy chick did that. I slide over to get a little closer now, but she quickly rises onto her knees on the bench. I give her an impassive look, saying nothing. Watching me, her eyes brim with tears as she stands up in the water and climbs out of the tub.
I'm going to take a shower.
She disappears into the bedroom, slamming first the door to the deck and then the bathroom as she goes.
Fuck!
I yell, smacking a palm at the bubbling water, wishing it could hit me back. I do need to listen to what I'm saying. This isn't some random crazy bitch. This is Tessa. What the hell is wrong with me? I'm so fucking paranoid. My guilt over this Seattle shit is causing me to lose my fucking mind. What's left of it, anyway? I have to fix this, or at least try to. I owe it to her, especially after I just accused her of the dumbest shit possible. Ironically, in a twisted way, I almost wish I hadn't remembered the condom myself. No. No, I don't. I just don't want her to leave me. And I don't know what else to do to get her to stay. A baby isn't the answer, that's for damn sure. I've done everything I possibly can except lock her in the apartment. Sure, it's an idea that's actually crossed my mind a few times, but I don't think she would like it too much. Plus she'd probably get a vitamin D deficiency. And stop going to yoga. And so stop wearing those pants. I need to go inside and apologize for embarrassing her and being a dick to her before the entire gang returns. Maybe I'll get lucky, and they'll get lost in the woods for a few hours. But first, I have something else I need to do. I climb out of the hot tub and walk into the room. It's cold as hell now that I'm only wearing soaked boxers. I glance back and forth between my phone and the bathroom door connected to our room. The shower's still running. So I grab my phone and a blanket from the back of the chair before stepping back out onto the balcony. I scroll through my contacts and find the name Samuel. Real fucking clever decoy there. I don't know why I saved this woman's number anyway. I guess I knew somehow I'd get tangled in a fucking web and have to call the bitch back. I changed the name in case Tessa went snooping through my shit, which I knew she would do. I thought she'd caught me when she asked about my deleted history and heard me yelling at Molly on the phone. In some ways, I'm sure she'd rather see Molly on my call log than this person.
Chapter 26. Tessa. I can't believe Hardin had the nerve to accuse me of trying to get myself pregnant, or even thinking that there's even a small chance that I would do something like that to him, or to myself. The whole thing's just absurd and stupid all around. Everything was going so great, incredible really, until he mentioned the condom. He should have just gotten out of the water and grabbed one. I know he has a pile of them in the top of his suitcase. I watched him shove them in there after I neatly packed our bags. He's probably just frustrated over this whole Seattle mess, so he overreacted, and maybe I did too. As a result of my annoyance with Hardin's rude comments and his ruining our moment in the hot tub, I need a hot shower. Seconds later, the water begins to work against my strained muscles, relaxing my nerves and clearing my head. We both overreacted, him more than me, and the argument was so unnecessary. I reach for the shampoo, and then I realize I was so rattled while getting away from him that I forgot to grab my toiletry bag. Great. Hardin? I call. I doubt he can hear me over the shower and hot tub, but I pull the floral shower curtain back and watch for him just in case. When he doesn't appear in the doorway after a few seconds, I grab my towel and wrap it around my body. Trailing water into the bedroom, I reach the suitcases lying on the bed when I hear Hardin's voice. I can't quite hear what he's saying, but I catch his tone of false niceness, which tells me he's trying to be polite and not show his frustration. Which tells me that this conversation is something he deems important enough to not act like himself. I pad quietly across the wooden floor, and since he's on speaker, I hear someone say, "Because I'm a realtor and my job is to fill empty apartments." Hardin sighs.
"Well, do you have any more empty apartments to fill?"
he asks. Wait, Hardin's trying to get me an apartment? I'm as shocked as I am excited at the thought. He's finally coming around to the idea of Seattle, and he's actually trying to help me instead of push against me, for once. The woman on the other end, who I realize has a very familiar voice, replies, "You gave me the impression that your friend Tessa was not someone I should be wasting my time giving an apartment to." What? Wait, is that... He wouldn't.
"Here's the thing. She isn't as bad as I made her out to be. She hasn't actually trashed any apartments or left without paying," he says, and my stomach turns.
He did. I burst through the doors to the deck. "You sick, selfish bastard," I scream, the first words that come to mind. Hardin spins to me, face paling, mouth opening wide. His phone tumbles to the floor and he just stares at me like I'm some terrible creature who's come to destroy him.
"Hello?"
Sandra's voice says through the speaker, and he reaches down to grab his phone to silence her. Anger courses through me. "How could you? How could you do that?"
"I..."
he begins. "No, don't even waste my time with an excuse. What the hell were you thinking?" I yell, with one arm sweeping in his direction violently. I storm back into the bedroom, and he follows me, pleading,
"Tessa, listen to me."
I turn around, feeling wounded and strong and hurt and enraged. No, you listen to me, Harden, I say through my teeth, trying to lower my voice, but I can't. I'm so sick of this. I'm sick of you trying to sabotage everything in my life that doesn't revolve around you, I scream, balling my fists tightly at my sides.
That's not what I...
Shut up! Shut the hell up! You are the most selfish, arrogant... You're just... Ugh! I can't think straight. Angry words fly from my mouth, my hands moving through the air in front of me.
I don't know what I was thinking. I was trying to clear it up just now.
I shouldn't be so surprised, really. I should have known that Harden was behind Sandra's sudden disappearance. He doesn't know when to stop meddling in my life, my career, and I'm sick of it. Exactly. This is exactly what I'm talking about. You're always doing something. You're always hiding something. You're always finding new ways to try to control every single thing I do, and I can't take it anymore. This is too much. I can't help but pace back and forth across the room, and Harden watches me with cautious eyes. I can handle you being a little overprotective, and I can handle you getting in a fight now and then. Hell, I can even handle you being a complete asshole half the time, because deep down, I always knew you were doing what you thought was best for me. But not this. You're trying to ruin my future, and I won't fucking have it.
I'm sorry,
he says, and I know he means it, but you're always fucking sorry. It's always the same shit. You do something, hide something, say something, I cry, you say you're sorry, and bam, all is forgiven. I point a harsh finger at him, but not this time. I have the urge to slap Harden right across his face, but I look around for something to take my anger out on instead. I grab a frilly pillow from the bed and throw it onto the floor. Then I throw a second one. It doesn't do much for the anger flaming inside me, but I'd feel even worse if I destroyed anything of Karen's. This is so exhausting. I don't know how much more I can take before I break. Fuck that. I won't break. I'm sick of breaking. That's all I ever do. I need to pick up my own pieces, put them back together neatly, and hide them away from Harden to keep them from ending up at a pile at his feet again. I'm sick of this endless cycle. I've told you before, and you don't listen. You find new ways to continue the cycle, and I'm done. I'm so fucking done. I don't know if I've ever been this angry at him. Yes, he's done worse things, but I've always moved on from that. We were never in a place like this before. A place where I thought he was done hiding things from me, and I thought he understood that he can't mess with my career. This chance means everything to me. I've spent my life watching what happens to a woman who has nothing of her own. My mother never had anything that she herself earned, anything that was hers, and I need that. I need to do this. I need this chance to prove that even though I'm young, I can make a life for myself that my mother never could make for herself. I can't let anyone take this from me, the way my mother let it slip from her.
Done with me?
His voice is shaky and it cracks.
You said you're done?
I don't know what I'm done with. It should be him, but I know myself better than to answer that right now. Normally I would be crying by this point and forgiving him with a kiss, but not tonight. I'm so fucking exhausted and I can't stand it. I can't keep doing this like this. You were going to let me move to Seattle without anywhere to live just to try to force me not to go? Harden stands before me in silence, and I take a deep breath, expecting my anger to diminish, but it doesn't. It grows and grows until I am literally seeing red. I grab the rest of the pillows, imagining that they're actually glass vases that shatter to the floor, leaving a mess for someone else to clean up. The problem is that I would be the one doing the cleaning. He wouldn't take the chance of cutting himself in order to spare me.
Get out! I scream at him. No, I'm sorry, okay?
Get the fuck out! Now! I spit, and he looks at me like he has no idea who I am. Maybe he hasn't. He hunches over and leaves the room, and I slam the door behind him before going back out onto the balcony. I sit down on the wicker chair and stare out at the sea, trying to calm myself down. No tears come, only memories. Memories and regrets.
Chapter 27. Harden. I know she's exhausted. I can see it on her face each time I fuck up. The fight with Zed, the lie about the expulsion. Every infraction takes a toll on her. She thinks I don't notice, but I do. Why did I have to put Sandra on speakerphone? If I hadn't done that, I could have cleaned this shit up and told her about my fuck-up after I fixed it. That way she couldn't be as upset. I wasn't thinking about what Tessa would do when she found out, and I sure as hell wasn't thinking about where she'd live if she didn't change her mind about moving. I suppose I thought that being the control freak that she is, she'd postpone her trip if she didn't have anywhere to stay. Way to fucking go, Harden. I meant well. Well, I didn't at the time, but now I do. I know it's fucked up for me to mess with her apartment in Seattle, but I'm grasping at straws here, trying to get her not to leave me. I know what will happen in Seattle, and it's not going to end well. True to my nature, I take a swing at the wall next to the staircase. Fuck! True to my luck, I find out it's not drywall. It's real fucking wood, and hurts so much worse. I cradle my fist with my other hand, and have to stop myself from repeating my idiotic reaction. I'm lucky it didn't break anything. Sure, it will bruise, but what else is new?
I'm sick of the endless cycle. I've told you before, and you don't listen.
I stomp down the stairs and throw myself on the couch like a temperamental child. That's what I am, really. A fucking child. She knows it. I know it. Hell, everyone fucking knows it. I should just print the shit on a goddamn t-shirt. I should just go up there and try to explain myself again. But honestly, I'm a little scared. I've never seen her so mad before. I need to get the hell out of here. If Tessa hadn't forced me to ride with the entire fucking Partridge family, I could leave now and end this stupid-ass trip early. I didn't even want to come in the first place. I guess the boat was sort of okay, but the trip in general is bullshit, and now that she's mad at me, there's literally no point in me being here. I stare up at the ceiling, unsure what I'm supposed to do now. I can't just sit here, and I know if I do, I'll end up back upstairs pushing Tessa further. I'll take a walk. That's what normal people do when they're angry, not punch walls and break shit. I need to get some damn clothes on before I do anything, but I can't go back up there or she'll murder me, literally. I sigh as I get up. If I wasn't so confused by Tessa's behavior, I'd care more about what I'm about to do. The door to Landon's room opens, and my eyes roll immediately. His clothes are stacked neatly on the bed. He must have been planning to dutifully put them away before his mum and my dad dragged him along with them. I sift through the hideous crap and desperately search for something that doesn't have a fucking collar. Finally, I find a plain blue t-shirt and a pair of black sweatpants. Fucking lovely. I've now resorted to sharing clothes with Landon. I hope Tessa's rage doesn't last long. But for once, I don't know what will happen next. I hadn't expected her to react half as bad as she did. It wasn't really the words she used toward me. It was the way she looked at me the whole time. That look said more than she ever could, and in turn, scared me more than her words alone ever could. I glance at the door to what was our room up until 20 minutes ago, then head back down the stairs and out the door. I barely make it down the damn driveway before my favorite stepbrother appears. At least he's alone. "Where's my dad?" I ask him.
"Are you wearing my clothes?"
he responds, clearly confused.
Yeah. I didn't have a choice. Don't make a big deal of it."
I shrug, knowing by the smile on his face he was planning on doing just that.
"Okay. What did you do now?"
"What the hell?
What makes you think I did something?"
His brow arches.
"Okay. So I did something. Something really fucking stupid," I huff. But I don't want to hear your shit, so don't worry about it.
Fine.
He shrugs and begins to walk away from me. I was hoping for a few words from him. He's okay with advice sometimes.
Wait!
I call and he turns around. You're not going to ask me what it was?
You just said you don't want to talk about it,
he replies.
Yeah, but I... Well,
I don't know what to say. And he's looking at me like I've grown two heads.
Do you want me to ask you?
He looks pleased, but thankfully he's not being too much of an asshole about it. I'm the reason... I begin. But just then I see Karen and my dad starting to walk up the driveway.
The reason what?
Landon asks, looking back at them.
Nothing. Never mind.
I sigh, running my fingers through my damp hair in frustration.
Hey, Harden, where's Tessa?
Karen asks. Why does everyone always ask me that as if I can't be more than 5 feet away from her? The building ache in my chest reminds me of just that. I can't.
She's inside, sleeping.
I lie and turn to Landon. I'm going for a walk. Can you make sure she's okay? He nods.
Where are you going?
My father's voice calls as I walk past them.
Out!
I snap and walk faster. By the time I reach a stop sign a few roads over, I realize I have no fucking idea where I'm going or even how to get back to where I came from. I just know I've been walking for a while and that all of these roads are deceptively windy. I officially hate this place. It didn't seem so bad while I was watching Tessa's hair blow lightly in the wind, her eyes focused on the shining water. Her lips turned up in a small, satisfied smile. She looked so relaxed, like the calm waves far from the shore, steady and undisturbed until our boat intruded on their peace. Now behind us, the water roars, whipping up onto the sides of our boat in an angry way. Soon they'll go back to their resting state, until another boat comes along to disturb their ease. A girl's voice interrupts the image of Tessa's sun-kissed skin.
Are you lost or something?
When I turn around, I'm surprised to find a girl, around my age, I think. Her brown hair is as long as Tessa's. She's alone out here at night. I look around us. There's nothing, only an empty gravel road and forest. Are you? I reply, taking notice of her long skirt. She smiles at me and walks closer. She must be lacking brain cells to be out here in the middle of nowhere asking a complete stranger that looks like me if he's lost.
No, I'm escaping,
she says, tucking her hair behind her ear. You're running away, at like age 20. She better keep her ass moving down this street then. The last thing I need is some angry father looking for his overdressed teenage daughter.
No,
she laughs.
I'm home from college visiting my parents, and they were boring me to death.
Oh, good for you. I hope your freedom trail finds you at Shangri-La, I reply, and begin to walk away from her.
You're going the wrong way,
she calls out.
Don't care,
I say. And then I groan when I hear her footsteps crunching against the gravel behind me.
Chapter 28, Tessa. I'm so exhausted, just plain tired of dealing with fight after fight with Harden. I'm not sure what to do now, where to go from here. I've been following him down the path we've been on for months now, and I'm not sure we're actually going anywhere. We're both just as lost as we were at the start.
Tessa?
Landon's voice carries through the room and out to the balcony. Out here, I reply, thankful that I put on a pair of shorts and a sweatshirt. Harden always teases me when I do that, but it's comfortable at times like this. Not too hot, but not too cold.
Hey,
he says, coming out and sitting in the chair next to mine. Hey. I glance over at him before staring back at the water.
Are you okay?
I take a moment to think over his question. Am I okay? No. Will I be? Yes. Yeah. This time I think I am. I bring my knees to my chest and wrap my arms around them.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I don't want to ruin the trip with all my drama. I'm fine, really.
Okay, just know if you want to talk, I'll listen.
I know. I look over at him and he gives me a reassuring smile. I don't know what I'm going to do without him. His eyes go wide and he points over at something.
Are those?
I look over to where he's staring. Oh, God. I jump from my seat and grab the red panties that are floating in the hot tub and shove them into the front pocket of my sweatshirt. Landon bites down on his bottom lip to stifle his laugh, but I can't keep mine in. We both burst into laughter. His genuine, mine out of humiliation. But I'll take this laughter with Landon over my usual post-fight crying with Harden any day.
Chapter 29. Harden. I'm growing more and more sick of seeing nothing but gravel and trees while roaming around this small town. The strange girl is still following behind me, and my fight with Tess is still weighing down on me. Are you going to follow me around this entire town? I ask the pestering girl.
No, I'm going back to my parents' cabin.
Well, go to their cabin alone.
You aren't very polite, she hums.
Really? I roll my eyes, even though she can't see my face. I've been told civility is one of my strongest attributes.
Someone lied to you,
she says and giggles behind me. I kick at a rock, for once glad for Tessa's cleanliness, since if she hadn't made me take my shoes off at the door of the cabin, I'd be stuck wearing Landon's sneakers. Not a good look. Plus, I'm almost certain his feet are much smaller than mine.
So where are you from?
She asks. I ignore her and continue on my trek. I think I'm supposed to turn left at the next stop sign. I sure as hell hope so.
England?
Yep, I say. Then figure I might as well ask. Which way? I turn and see her point to the right. Of course, I was wrong. Her eyes are an icy blue, and her skirt drags across the gravel below her feet. She reminds me of Tessa. Well, the Tessa I was first introduced to. My Tessa no longer wears hideous things like that. She has also learned a new vocabulary. All credit for that goes to me for making her cuss my ass out on a wide range of occasions.
Are you here with your parents too?
Her voice is low, sweet even. No. Well, sort of.
They are sort of your parents.
She smiles. Her use of they are instead of the contraction there reminds me of Tess, too. I look over to the girl again to make sure she's actually there, and this isn't some freaky Christmas Carol type shit where she's an apparition that has come to teach me some sort of lesson. They're my family and my girlfriend. I have a girlfriend, by the way, I warn her. I don't see this girl being interested in someone like me. But then again, I once thought the same about Tessa.
Okay,
she says. Okay. I pick up my pace, wanting to create some space between us. I turn right, and she does too. Both of us move onto the grass as a truck passes us by, and she catches up again.
Where is she then, your girlfriend?
She asks. Sleeping. It makes sense to use the same lie I told my father and Karen.
Hmm.
Hmm, what? I look at her.
Nothing.
She stares forward. You've already followed me halfway back. If you have something to say, then say it. I say irritably. She twists something in her hands, looking down.
I was just thinking that you seem like you're trying to escape from something, or hide. I don't know. Never mind.
I'm not hiding. She told me to get the fuck out, so I did. What the hell does this wannabe Tessa know anyway? She looks up at me.
Why did she kick you out?
Are you always this nosy? She smiles.
Yeah, I am,
she says with a nod. I hate nosy people. Except Tessa, of course. No matter how much I love her. Sometimes I want to tape her mouth shut following one of her interrogations. She's literally the most intrusive human being I've ever met. I'm lying, really. I love her pestering behavior. I used to hate it, but I get it now. I want to know all about her, too. What she's thinking, what she's doing, what she wants. I realize, to my fucking horror, that I ask more questions now than she does.
So, are you going to tell me?
The girl presses. What's your name? I ask her, avoiding her question.
Lillian,
she says, and drops whatever was in her hand. I'm Harden. She tucks her hair behind her ear.
Tell me about your girlfriend.
Why?
It seems like you're upset. And who better to talk to than a stranger?
I don't want to talk to her. She's eerily similar to Tessa, and it's making me uneasy. I don't think it's a good idea. The sun has disappeared early here, and the sky is nearly black.
And keeping it in is?
She asks sensibly. Too sensibly. Look, you seem nice and all, but I don't know you, and you don't know me, so this conversation isn't going to happen. She frowns, then sighs.
Fine.
Finally, I can see the familiar sloped roof of my father's cabin in the distance. Well, this is me, I say by way of dismissing myself.
Really? Wait. Your dad is Ken, isn't he?
She slaps her small hand against her forehead.
Yeah?
I say, surprised. We both stop walking at the end of the driveway.
I'm an idiot, of course. With the accents. How did I not think of it earlier?
She laughs. I don't get it. I look down at her.
Your dad and my dad are friends. They went to college together or something. I just spent the last hour listening to them tell stories of their glory days.
Oh, that's ironic. I half smile. I don't feel as uncomfortable around the girl as I did a few minutes ago. She smiles brightly.
So really, we aren't strangers after all.
Chapter 30. Tessa. Cookies, Landon and I answer in unison. Cookies it is then. Karen smiles and opens the cabinet. Karen never stops. She's always baking, roasting, toasting. Not that I'm complaining. Her cooking is incredible.
It's dark out now. I hope he doesn't get lost out there,
Ken says. Landon just shrugs like, that's Harden. Harden has been gone for nearly 3 hours, and I'm trying my best not to panic. I know he's okay. If something were to ever happen to him, I would know. I don't know how to explain it, but I know deep down that I would just know. So something harming him is not what I'm worried about. I'm worried that his frustration will just become an excuse to find some local bar. As much as I wanted him to get away from me, it would kill me to see him stumble through the door and smell liquor on his breath. I just needed my space, time to think and cool down. I haven't gotten around to the thinking part. I've been avoiding it at all costs. I was thinking we could all get in the jacuzzi tonight, or maybe in the morning, Karen suggests. Landon spits his soda back into his cup, and I look away quickly, biting the inside of my cheek. The memory of Landon spotting my floating panties is much too fresh, and I can feel the heat in my cheeks.
Karen, honey, I don't think they want to get in the jacuzzi with us.
Ken laughs, and Karen smiles, realizing that it would be a little awkward, maybe. I guess you're right. She laughs and starts separating the cookie dough into small balls. She scrunches her nose. I hate this pre-made stuff. I'm sure that for Karen, pre-made cookie dough is awful, but for me, it's heaven. Especially now when I feel like I could snap at any moment. Landon and I were in the middle of a discussion about Dakota and their soon-to-be apartment when his mother and Ken finally checked in on us. They mentioned that they ran into Harden as he was leaving. Apparently, he told them that I was asleep, so I did my best to go along with his lie, saying that I had only woken up when Landon came in. I've been wondering where Harden is and when he will return since the moment he left. Part of me doesn't want to see him at all, but part of me, a much bigger part, needs to know that he isn't doing anything that will further jeopardize our already fragile relationship. I'm still extremely angry at his interfering with my move to Seattle, and I have no idea what the hell I'm going to do about it.
Chapter 31. Harden.
You sabotaged her getting an apartment?
Lillian asks, her jaw falling open. I told you it was fucked up, I remind her. Another pair of headlights flashes by us as we walk to her parents' cabin. I had every intention of going back to my father's, but Lillian has proven herself to be a decent listener so far. So when she asked me to walk her back to her cabin and finish our discussion, I accepted. My absence will give Tessa some time to cool down and hopefully be ready to talk by the time I return.
You didn't tell me what level of messed up it was. I don't blame her for being mad at you,
the girl says, of course ready to take Tessa's side. I can't imagine what she'd think of me if she knew about all the shit I put Tessa through in the past 6 months.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
She asks, opening the front door to her parents' cabin. She gestures for me to come in, like it was a foregone conclusion that I would. Once I step inside, I see it's very extravagant, even bigger than my father's. Fucking rich people.
They should be upstairs,
she says as we walk inside.
Who should be upstairs?
A woman's voice questions, and Lillian grimaces before turning around to the woman I assume is her mum. She looks just like her, the only difference between them being age.
Who's this?
She asks. Just then a middle-aged man wearing a polo shirt and khakis walks into the living room. Great. Fucking great. I should have just stuck to walking Lillian home. I wonder how Tessa would feel if she knew I was here. Would she mind? She's pretty mad at me anyway, and she has a history of being jealous of Molly. Still, this girl isn't Molly. She's nothing like her.
Mom, Dad, this is Harden, Ken's son.
A huge grin appears on the man's face.
I was wondering if I'd get to meet you,
he exclaims with a posh British accent. Well, that explains how he would know my father from university. He walks over and pats my shoulder. I take a step back, causing him to frown slightly, although he also kind of seems to have expected this reaction from me. My father must have warned him about me. I almost laugh at the thought.
Honey, he says, turning to his wife. This is Trish's son.
You know my mum? I ask him before also turning to his wife.
Yeah, I knew your mom back before she was your mom, the woman says with a smile. We were all friends, the five of us, she adds.
Five? I ask. Lillian's dad looks at her.
Now, honey.
Anyway, you look just like her, only you have your father's eyes. I haven't seen her since I moved back to America. How is she?
She asks. She's good. She's getting married soon.
Really?
She squeals.
Tell her congratulations from me. That is just so great to hear.
Okay, I respond. These people smile too damn much. It's like being in a room with three Karens, only much more annoying and much less charming.
Well, I'm going to get going,
I tell Lillian, figuring this has been awkward enough.
No, no, you don't have to go. We'll go upstairs, Lillian's father says,
then wraps his arm around his wife's waist and leads her away. Lillian watches them go, then looks up at me.
Sorry, they are...
fake? I answer for her. I can sense the bullshit behind the man's bleached white smile.
Yes, very.
She laughs and goes over and sits on the couch. I stand awkwardly by the door.
Will your girlfriend mind if you're here?
She asks me.
I don't know. Probably.
I groan, running exasperated fingers through my hair.
Would you want her to do the same thing? How would you feel if she was hanging out with a guy, one she just met?
As soon as the words leave her lips, anger swells in my chest. I'd be seeing red.
I growl.
Thought so.
She smirks and pats the couch next to her. I take a deep breath and stride over to sit on the opposite side of the couch from her. I'm not sure how to read her. She's rude as hell and a little annoying.
You're the jealous type, then?
She asks, eyes wide. I guess so, I shrug.
I bet your girlfriend wouldn't like it much if you kissed me.
She moves closer, and I jump up from the couch. I'm halfway to the door before she begins to laugh.
What the hell?
I try to keep my voice down.
I was just messing with you. I'm not interested. Trust me.
She smiles.
And it's a relief to know that you aren't either. Now sit.
She may have a lot of the same traits as Tessa, but she isn't as sweet, nor as innocent. I sit down on the chair across from the couch. I don't know this chick enough to trust her. I'm only here because I don't want to face what's back at my dad's cabin. And Lillian, despite being a stranger, is a neutral third party, unlike Landon, who happens to be Tessa's best friend. It's sort of nice to have someone to talk to who doesn't have a reason to judge me. And hell, she's a little nutty, so she's more likely to get where I'm coming from.
Now, tell me what is in Seattle that you aren't willing to face for her.
It's not anything specific. I do have some bad history there, but it's more than that. It's the fact that she'll be thriving, I respond, knowing how fucking insane I sound. But I don't give a fuck. This girl stalked me for an hour, so if anyone is insane, it's her.
And that's a bad thing?
No. I want her to thrive, of course. I just want to be a part of it. I sigh, missing Tessa desperately, even though it's only been a few hours. The fact that she's so angry with me makes me miss her even more.
So you refuse to go to Seattle with her because you want to be involved in her life? It doesn't make sense,
she says, stating the obvious. I know you don't get it. She doesn't either. But she's the only thing I have. Literally, she's the only thing in my life that I give a shit about. And I can't lose her. I'd have nothing without her. Why am I telling her this shit? I know I sound fucking pathetic.
No, you don't.
She gives me a sympathetic smile, and I look away. The last thing I want is sympathy. The light on the staircase shuts off, and I look back at Lillian. Should I go? I ask.
No, I'm sure my father is ecstatic that I brought you home,
she says, no sarcasm in her voice. Why is that?
Well, ever since I introduced them to Riley, he's been hoping we would break up.
He doesn't like him or some shit.
Her.
What?
He doesn't like her,
she says, and I almost smile at her. I feel bad for her father not accepting her relationship, but I have to admit, I'm extremely relieved.
Chapter 32. Tessa. Landon's been explaining that since their apartment is so close to campus, they can walk there easily every day. No need to drive, and he won't even have to take the subway on a daily basis. Well, I'm just glad you won't be driving in that massive city. Thank goodness, Karen says, putting her hand on her son's shoulder. He shakes his head.
I'm a fine driver. Better than Tessa,
he teases. I'm not that bad. Better than Harden, I remark.
There's something to brag about,
Landon says playfully. And it's not your driving I'm worried about. It's those insane taxis, Karen says, like a mother hen. I grab a cookie off the plate on the counter and look at the front door again. I've been watching it, waiting for Harden to return. My anger has been slowly shifting to concern as the minutes tick by.
Okay, thanks for letting me know. I'll see you tomorrow,
Ken says into his phone as he joins us in the kitchen. Who is that?
Max. Harden's at their cabin with Lillian,
he says, and my stomach drops. Lillian? I can't stop myself from asking.
Max's daughter. She's about your age.
Why would Harden be at the neighbor's cabin with their daughter? Does he know her? Has he dated her?
"You'll be back soon, I'm sure."
Ken frowns, and when he looks at me, I get the feeling he hadn't considered my reaction to this information before he said it. That he seems uncomfortable makes me even more uncomfortable. "Yeah," I choke, standing from the stool at the counter. "I'm going to go to bed," I tell them, trying to hold myself together. I can feel my anger resurfacing, and I need to get away from them before it boils over.
"I'll come up with you,"
Landon offers. "No, I'm okay, really. I had an early morning. We all did, and it's getting late," I assure him, and he nods, even though I can tell he isn't buying it. As I reach the stairs, I hear him say,
"He's a damn idiot."
Yes, Landon. Yes, he is. I close the balcony doors before walking over to the dresser to change into my pajamas. With my mind racing, I'm finding it difficult to focus on clothing. Nothing appeals as a substitute for Harden's worn clothing, and I refuse to wear the white t-shirt resting on the arm of the chair. I need to be able to sleep in my own damn clothes. I give up after rummaging through the drawer and decide to settle for the shorts and sweatshirt that I have on, and lie down on the bed. Who is this mystery girl that Harden's with? Ironically, I'm more upset about my apartment in Seattle than I am about her. If he wants to jeopardize our relationship by cheating, that's his choice. Yes, it would tear what's left of me into pieces, and I don't think I would ever recover, but I'm not going to focus on it. For the life of me, I can't picture it. I can't picture him actually cheating on me. Despite all of the things he's done in the past, I just don't see it. Not after his letter. Not after his pleading for my forgiveness. Yes, he's controlling, too controlling, and he doesn't know when to stop interfering with my life. But the intentions behind his actions are more about keeping me near him than trying to escape, like cheating would be. Even after I've spent an hour staring at the ceiling and counting the beams of stained wood lining the sloped surface, the throb of resentment toward Harden hasn't let up. I don't know if I'm ready to talk to him just yet, but I know I won't be able to sleep until I hear him return. The longer he's gone, the stronger the twist of jealousy grows in my chest. I can't help but notice the double standard here. If I was out with a guy, Harden would lose it and probably try to burn down the woods surrounding the place. I want to laugh at the ridiculous thought, but I just don't have it in me. Instead, I close my eyes again, begging sleep to come.
Chapter 33. Harden.
"Do you want a drink?"
Lillian asks.
"Sure."
I shrug and glance at the clock. She gets up and goes over to a silver bar cart. Looking at the bottles it contains, she selects one and shows it to me quickly, like she's Vanna White or something. Pulling the top off of a bottle of brandy that I'm sure costs more than the massive television hanging on the wall, she looks back at me with mock sympathy.
"You can't be a coward forever, you know."
"Shut up."
"You're so much like her,"
she giggles.
"Like Tessa?"
"No, I'm not. And how would you know?"
"No, not Tessa. Riley."
"How's that?" Lillian pours the dark liquor into a curved glass and places it in my hand before sitting back down on the couch.
"Where's your drink?"
I ask. She gives a regal shake of the head.
"I don't drink."
Of course she doesn't. I really shouldn't be drinking. But the slightly sweet, intense aroma of the brandy pushes the nagging reminder away. "Are you going to tell me how I'm like her or not?" I look at her expectantly.
"You just are. She has that brooding, angry-at-the-world thing going on, too."
She makes an exaggerated emo face and crosses her legs under her. "Well, maybe she has something to be angry about," I say, defending her girlfriend without even knowing her, then gulp down half the glass of liquor. It's strong, aged to perfection, and I can feel the burn down to the soles of my boots. Lillian doesn't reply. Instead, she purses her lips and stares at the wall behind me, deep in thought. I'm not into this whole Dr. Phil, you talk, I talk, kumbaya shit, I tell her, and she nods.
I'm not expecting kumbaya, but I think you should at least come up with a plan to apologize to Tamara.
Her name is Tessa, I snap, annoyed suddenly by her small mistake. She smiles and pulls her brown hair to one shoulder.
Tessa, sorry. I have a cousin named Tamara, and it was in my